So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter 3, entitled The Lord's Pastimes Out of Vrindavan, text number 1. Uddhava uvacha tataha sa agatya puram svapitrosh Chikirshaya Shambhala Deva Sanyutaha Nipatya Tungad Ripuyuthanatham Hatam Vyakarshad Vyasum Oj Jasorvyam Uddhava uvacha. Shri Uddhava said, Tataha, thereafter, Saha, the Lord, Agatya, coming, Puram, to the city of Mathura, Swapitro, own parents, Chikirshaya, wishing well. Sham, well-being. Baladeva Sanyutaha, with Lord Baladev. Nipatya, dragging down. Tungat, from the throne. Ripu Yuthanatham, leader of public enemies. Hatam, killed. Vyakarshat, pulled. Vyasum, dead. Ojasa, by strength. Urvyam, on the ground. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, translation. Sri Uddhava said, thereafter, Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladev, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength. Translation, please repeat. Sri Uddhava said, thereafter, Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladev, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength. Purport. King Kamsa's death is only briefly described here, because such pastimes are vividly and elaborately described in the 10th canto. The Lord proved to be a worthy son of his parents, even at the age of 16 years. Both brothers, Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev, went to Mathura from Vrindavan and killed their maternal uncle, who had given so much trouble to their parents, Vasudev and Devaki. Kamsa was a great giant, and Vasudev and Devaki never thought that Krishna and Balaram, Baladev, would be able to kill such a great and strong enemy. When the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, their parents feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long in the house of Nanda Maharaj. The parents of the Lord, due to the parental affection, felt extreme danger, and they almost fainted. Just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa, Krishna and Baladev pulled Kamsa's dead body along the ground to encourage them. Om ग्रन्थिमीरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर स्टार्टिंग न्यू चैप्टर टुडे लॉर्ड्स पास्ट टाइम्स आउट ऑफ वृंदावन सो दीज पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड आर all attractive, they attract everyone. And Krishna, the name Krishna means all attractive. And another meaning of name Krishna is the greatest pleasure. Krish means greatest and Na means pleasure. So when we hear these pastimes, we can see how Krishna is taking greatest pleasure in his pastimes. And when we hear, we also get the greatest pleasure. And we are attracted by these pastimes. So in these verses, in this chapter, there will be many pastimes will be discussed. And all these pastimes are out of Vrindavan. So they will be in Mathura and Dwarka and so on. And Prabhupada mentions that killing of Kamsa is just briefly mentioned in today's verse. And in further, in 10th canto, it's elaborately described, maybe in one or two chapters. So these pastimes are very important, and when we discuss them again and again, we become familiar with how Krishna works. Because we want to know how Krishna is acting. Because we are connected to Krishna and we need to see Krishna's hand in our lives. So when we see how Krishna is reciprocating with his devotees and how Krishna is dealing with demons, then we can see how Krishna will deal with us. Because as we hear very often that there is a demon and a devotee within ourselves in Kali Yuga. So if we act like a devotee, then Krishna will reciprocate in that way. And if we act demoniacally, then Krishna will act and he will reciprocate accordingly. So we are suffering, sometimes we suffer due to our past karma. So we should actually thank Krishna that you are only giving me very small reaction. I should suffer even more. I have acted like a demon in so many past lives. And I should suffer so much in this life and future lives and life after life. But you are only giving a little bit of karma. But usually when something happens to us, physically or mentally, or something happens to our family members, then we tend to blame Krishna rather than thank him. So these miseries caused in this world are actually mercy, because they remind us of the temporary nature of this world and how this is a place of misery. If everything is fine, then we forget the goal of human life. So the problems should be there and they will be there in this material world. We cannot get out of problems. But it's up to us whether we feel and suffer them or we stay ecstatic. Pure devotees are always ecstatic because they are on transcendental platform. Although things are happening to their body and mind, but they don't relate to it. They deal them appropriately. Deal with them appropriately. So here we see what did Krishna do with Kamsa. He was the greatest demon in that area of Vraja and Mathura. He was the greatest demon and he made friends with so many other demons. And he used to send them to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Initially he tried to kill Krishna, but Vasudev took him to Nanda Maharaj. And then Kamsa started sending one demon after another to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. And we see how Krishna dealt with him. He dealt with him very severely. Krishna enjoys all his pastimes. He enjoys his interaction with his parents, with young cowherd boys, young cowherd girlfriends. And he enjoys his pastimes of killing demons as well. Because God is all good. So whatever he does is good. And he takes pleasure in that. So whether he is playing with his cowherd boyfriends or he is killing a demon, he enjoys. And as devotees, we should also enjoy all these pastimes. Not only the so-called, I mean, apparently nice pastimes. All his pastimes are nice. So in so many pastimes, we see how Krishna kills demons. Externally, they may seem very ghastly. As Narasimha Devi, you know, pulls out the intestines. And now he kills Kamsa. He throws him from his throne from a raised platform and then he jumps on him. And Keshava Prabhu described this pastime recently very elaborately. So when Krishna jumped on Kamsa, he thought as if whole universe has landed on him. So this Kamsa mentality is very important to understand. What is Kamsa's mentality? He thinks that he is the controller. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. That I am the controller and things should go according to me, according to my choices. We see that how people like Kamsa in society, they may be on a very big position, so-called reputed position, but their mentality is demoniac. And eventually it comes to the it comes to the surface. We see how when Kamsa was taking Devaki and Vasudev on the chariot and he was having full feelings for his sister and brother-in-law after their wedding. But suddenly there was a celestial voice that, "You fool, what are you doing? You are taking your sister and brother-in-law whose son will kill you in future." So externally, he was showing great affection for his sister. But as soon as there was this celestial voice, his demoniac nature came out. So immediately he grabbed the hair of his sister and pulled out his sword and he was ready to kill her. So this is what a demon is like. So you see many people walking around as big so-called politicians, managers. But if their pleasure is being stopped, their demoniac nature will come out very quickly. If you try to hinder their enjoyment, then you know, they want that at any cost. So Kamsa tried a lot to kill Krishna, but he couldn't, because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you kill the Supreme Person? He's the Supreme Soul. Even the tiny soul cannot be killed. How can you kill the Supreme Soul? So then later on, Kamsa, he imprisoned his own father. Then later he imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev also. And he tortured them. He killed their first six sons. And Baldev was the seventh son. He was transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb in Vrindavan. So when we hear these pastimes, they are very amazing. So this is like a womb transplant. You know, Baldev goes from one womb to another. And then how Krishna appears. So Krishna appears in a wonderful way. He appears in his four-handed form. And this Vatsalya Ras of Vasudev and Devaki is very important to understand. They were residents of Mathura and Dwarka. And although they knew that Krishna is Supreme Lord, but sometimes their knowledge was covered with their Vatsalya Bhav. So they could see that Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared, but Devaki got afraid and she said, please turn into a small two-handed baby because Kamsa may kill you. So now how is it possible? She can see that it's Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can someone kill Supreme Personality of Godhead? But she was covered by this love, this Vatsalya Bhav. So this is the difference actually between Devaki, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. For Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, they don't know the godhood of Krishna. They are always covered by love. So these pastimes of Krishna are, as we were saying, they are for enjoyment. A pastime means you when you do an activity to pass your time, to enjoy that time. Yeah, people have many hobbies and many activities they do to enjoy in their free time. And Krishna does these pastimes all the time. So he's always enjoying. He's never at work. He's always enjoying. So it is said Krishna's pastimes are just like the sun. Like the sun is always in the sky. Sometimes it's visible to us and sometimes it is not. So in the same way, Krishna's pastimes are always going on in the spiritual world, in the material realm as well. So sometimes they are prakat or visible to ordinary eyes, and sometimes they are aprakat or invisible. But they are always going on. And in Brahma Samhita also it is said, Goloka eva nivasatya akhilatma bhuto govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So he is always present in his spiritual world. He is performing his eternal pastimes with Nitya Siddha devotees. Then he has mercy for Nitya Baddha living entities as well. So he comes to material world and exhibits the same pastimes. So in one or the other universe, his pastimes are going on. When he disappears from ordinary vision, in one universe, he appears in another universe. He's always appearing in some universe or the other. And when these Nitya Baddha living entities become purified by process of bhakti, they get a chance to perform activities with Krishna in one of those universes, wherever Krishna is. So it is described that when Krishna was about to appear from Devaki's womb, and even before that, these residents of heavenly planets, they were instructed that please take birth in these families of cowherd men and women so that you can take part in these pastimes of Krishna. So those were the living entities who were purified. So So some of them, they got chance to take part in Krishna's pastimes. In Bhagavad Gita, we understand that when we perform bhakti, for example, now we are on this earthly planet, we are performing bhakti, all of us may not be able to perfect it fully. We may reach 30% or 70%. So what happens if we have made little advancement? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Prapya punya kitam lokan ushitva shashvati sama shuchi nam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto vijayate. So if you have done little bhakti, if you have performed some bhakti, then we go to the heavenly planets. Punya, prapya punya kritam lokan. So punya lok means the planets of the pious. So you have performed pious activities here, especially the bhakti activities, then you can go up. And there you continue performing devotional service. And if you are fully pure in heavenly planets, then you are transferred to one of the universes where Krishna is. So those were the living entities who were ordered to appear in cowherd families. So example given by Prabhupada is living entities like mother of Indra and Vamandev. So devotees like them, they were purified because even when they reached heavenly planets, they were performing devotional service and then they became fully purified. So these pastimes are the proof that we are on a progressive path. Our efforts are not going wasted. Whatever we are doing, we are taking one step ahead towards Krishna. And one day we will be in those pastimes. So more we hear these pastimes, more we become a part of those pastimes. So just imagine, one day we will be in that arena, in the as spectators, when Krishna would be fighting with all these wrestlers who were employed by Kamsa. So we should feel, when we hear these pastimes again and again, we start feeling them. And then one day we will be in those pastimes. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is explained that these pastimes happen again and again, even in the spiritual world, what to speak of material world. Govardhan Leela, you know, Kaliya comes again and again, Akrura comes again and again to take Krishna. And these devotees in spiritual world, they feel those emotions again and again. And for them, they are ever fresh. So it's mentioned that one day Akrura arrived again in the spiritual world. And for all the residents of spiritual world, it was a fresh event and they felt agony to the greatest extent. So this feeling that Kamsa is there in the spiritual realm as well, it's there. It's described that when Gopakumar, he was going up and up, and he entered spiritual world. So he went through Ayodhya and Dwarka. And further, when he reached Mathura, he had that feeling, oh, Kamsa is here. So this is spiritual world. So he understood. He felt so much fear. So he, I think, quickly took some water in a holy place. And he quickly went towards Vrindavan. He didn't stay much in Mathura because he had that fear, oh, Kamsa is present here. So these feelings will be there in the spiritual world also. So sorry to disappoint you, but there is a lot of difference in the feelings in spiritual world and feelings in material world. Externally, they seem similar. Like we are seeing these Vasudev and Devaki, they are suffering so much. Then all these demons come to Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda suffers so much. It is described when Krishna was grabbed by Kaliya in his coils, Mother Yashoda was amazed that why is not my body not shattering to pieces. She was feeling so much pain. So just imagine, would we like to experience that? No, we won't, you know. Even we don't want to experience a pinprick, what to speak of what Mother Yashoda goes through and other residents of Vrindavan. But whatever activities we are doing, we are targeting to get into Vrindavan and feel those emotions. So what is the difference? Example is actually given that when you take ice, a solid ice piece, and you put it to your skin and put it for a prolonged period, so you will actually feel a burning sensation. But actually it's ice, it's cold. So how do you feel that burning sensation? So it's similar, but it's totally opposite. So same way, the feelings of residents of spiritual world Golok Vrindavan or in Gokul Vrindavan, when Krishna performs his pastimes, the feelings that devotees feel are on the spiritual platform. Externally, they look like material emotions, but they are totally different. So by hearing in association of devotees, we will realize those emotions one day. And yesterday also we were discussing what is the importance of sadhu sang or sat sang. Mahaprabhu has instructed all of us, asat sang tyag a vaishnavachar. Who is a Vaishnava? One who disregards this asat sang. So how can we avoid association with materialists? How is it possible? Wherever we go, there are non-devotees. So how to avoid it? So the meaning of that is, we cannot just sit in a room and close the door and just chant. We have to go out in the world. If someone is working, you have to interact with people. If someone is a full-time devotee in ashram, he has to go out to preach, to distribute prasad. You have to interact with non-devotees. So the real meaning is, we may be surrounded by non-devotees, but we don't perform the six loving exchanges with them. That is, the six loving exchanges are the real association. So it is said that when you give food to hungry people, or if some rich person gives money to a poor person, it is not mainly out of love. It is mainly out of a duty. So in that way, it's not association actually. So if you meet a non-devotee and out of duty you try to give Krishna consciousness or you deal with them, it's not association. But if with love we start interacting with them with those six loving exchanges, then we are degraded. So what are the six loving exchanges? Dadati pratigrinati, guhyam akhyati prichyati, bhunkte bhojayate chaiva, shadvidam priti lakshanam. So these six loving exchanges they happen among devotees. And we should try to understand that what are these six loving exchanges. So we give some charitable gifts, we accept gifts. It's always two ways. So there are three pairs in these six loving exchanges. So you give and then you accept charitable gifts. Then you serve prasadam and you accept prasadam. And you ask something confidential and you reveal your mind, and you know, when you get answer, you are getting a response. So these are like exchanges. So you do these six loving exchanges with devotees, and Prabhupada says actually we are trying to perform these six loving exchanges with Krishna. So we give charitable gifts to Krishna, and if Krishna gives something to us, we accept it as Krishna's mercy. We offer food to Krishna and then he gives his remnants as back to us as prasadam. We accept it. And we ask confidential question, we pray to Krishna. We are actually always asking confidentially to Krishna. How are we asking? We are all every day chanting Hare Krishna. What is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? It's a prayer. It's a question that Krishna, how can I engage in your service? I've been serving Maya from time immemorial. Now I want to serve you. Please tell me, how can I serve you? So this is a confidential question. And then Krishna reveals to us from within the heart through devotees. He's replying. So he's reciprocating with us by giving that service. So we are performing these six loving exchanges with Krishna as well. And we should increase it more and more. We should plan and scheme how to increase these loving exchanges with Krishna. So if we are performing these six activities with devotees and Krishna, then we are always protected. Nothing will touch us. No negative thing will touch us. Maya will take a back foot, and actually she will help us to serve Krishna. So Krishna always protects his devotees. He promises. He actually tells Arjun that declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. People may not trust me because I tend to, sometimes I may not be able to fulfill my promise. That's what Krishna says. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna promises, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam satay bhajamyaham. In whichever way you approach me, I will reciprocate accordingly. But in Bhagavatam, we see that Krishna actually fails to fulfill his promise. Because these residents of Vrindavan, especially the young gopis, they served Krishna so amazingly. They gave everything to him. So Krishna thought, I cannot reciprocate with them. It's not possible. So he told them, Na pareham, that I cannot actually reciprocate with you enough. So you please be satisfied with your glorious activities and qualities. So that's why Krishna tells Arjun that you declare that my devotee never perishes. So then a devotee's words, a pure devotee's word, never goes in vain. So we have to understand that how Krishna is always protecting us from these demons, demoniac influences. There is a prayer by the gopis when Krishna left Rasa dance. They sang this song, a very famous song, Gopi Geet. And the third verse in that song is Vishya Jalapayad Vyala Rakshasad Varsha Marutad Vedyutalanad Vrishya Mayatmajad Vishvatob Bhayat Rishabate Vayam Rakshitamuhu. So gopis address Krishna as Rishab. Yesterday we were reading in our Bhakti Vaibhav class the appearance of Rishabdev. So Rishabdev was one of the incarnations of Krishna, and he appeared in the house of King Nabi. So when King Nabi saw the various features of Rishabdev and various qualities of Rishabdev, he saw many marks on his hands and feet. So he understood that it is not a normal, common person. He's a great person, superior or even supreme person. So he gave him the name Rishab. Rishab means the supreme among men. So here gopis address Krishna as Rishab. So they are saying that you always protect us. And they are giving proofs how in past you have protected us. Visha Jalapya, that when Kalia was residing in that lake of Yamuna River, he contaminated that lake with his poison. And you protected us by sending him away. And Vyala Rakshasad, when Aghasur, the great man-eating demon, came, you protected us from him. And when Indra sent this great rain, Varsha Maruta, then this great rain of Samvartaka clouds, when they came and poured this heavy rain, you saved us that time as well by lifting Govardhan Hill. And then when Trinavart, the demon, came, the whirlwind demon, you also saved us that time. And you saved us from Arishtasur, Vyomasur, and so many other demons. Vishvatobayat, and so many other fears of this material world. You have saved us again and again. So they are praying to Krishna like that. So although these Brajavasis go through so much, but they always appreciate Krishna, because he always saves them. And he does it to increase their love. We all want to increase our love for someone in this material world. Materialists, they want to love more and more. They use this word love, but actually Prabhupada, in one of in the purports to one of the songs, he writes that this word love can only be used in connection to Krishna. So people are trying to increase their love for something or someone, but that is not love, that is lust. So love is only with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So that is real love. So by performing these activities of bhakti, we develop this real love for Krishna. Otherwise, we are always in a state of ignorance. And we go further down, we get further and further covered. So people get so many miseries in this world and they want to take intoxication to forget it. And they are covered in ignorance more. So 2 days back, I met someone while I was distributing books. So he liked Bhagavad Gita. He wanted to give me some money, but he didn't have money. So I was outside Melbourne Central. So he said, come, I'll get some cash out and I'll give you some money. So I thought he'll go to a ATM and take out some money. But he took me to the bar. And he said, I'm little stressed today. I'm going to have some drink and I'll take cash out and I'll give you. I said, okay, no problem. So he went in there. He said, please give me one jug of beer. So he was very stressed. He said, today was a very hard day for me. So then he asked, can you give me cash out? So they said, we don't give cash out. Go to ATM. So then we went to ATM. He gave me. So there I could see that he was stressed and he wanted to take intoxication to get rid of that. But you don't get rid of your stress by taking intoxication. For some time, you forget it and you think you are over it. But when the effect of intoxication goes away, the problem is still there staring in your face. So intoxication is not the way to get out of problems. The only solution to any problem, material or spiritual, is bhakti yoga, is Krishna consciousness. If we perform these activities, we come to a spiritual platform. And on spiritual platform, there are no problems. So in these books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we get so much information. Even in Bhagavad Gita, there's so much information. If you see second chapter, it's contents of Gita summarized. Everything is in there, in that one chapter. So much is there. The characteristics of souls, the qualities of soul are described. So it says, achedyoyam adayoyam akledyo shosha evacha nitya sarvagata stano achaloyam sanatana. So soul cannot be cut, it cannot be withered, it cannot be dissolved. And actually Prabhupada says that soul is described as sarvagata in that verse of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvagata means a soul is present everywhere. So Prabhupada mentions this, he was explaining about this verse in reference to how people are trying to go into the space and other planets. Everyone is trying to go to other planets. So Prabhupada says that this is nothing new, that in recent history, 1960s or 70s, they began their exploration in the space. He said, no, this has always been there, because that's the nature of soul. It's present on all planets, it's present everywhere. So naturally we want to go to other planets, because we have been there and some souls are always there. So this is within us, we want to go. Like on this planet, we always want to travel somewhere, because that's the nature of soul. But modern so-called scientists, they cannot understand that how a living entity can be present on other planets. So Prabhupada explains very simply that you dig earth, you will find worms. If you go in water, you will find aquatics. If you go in air, you will find birds. So living entities are present everywhere. So same way, if you go to other planets, there are living entities there. Soul is sarvagata, it's present everywhere. So all this information is present in these books. We just have to have faith. And if we serve Krishna fully, then Krishna will deliver us from our ignorance. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasha Tasya Ham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. So one who is Nitya Yukta, who is always engaged in devotional service, for him, I deliver him very easily, very swiftly. So Krishna is our deliverer. But for demons, there is no mercy. It is said, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. So Kamsa's end was inevitable. So Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, no one could save him. He sent so many demons and he made friends with the topmost wrestlers of the world. They couldn't kill Krishna. He arranged the arena. There was a big elephant at the gate, Kovalya Pida, and he had so many wrestlers to kill Krishna, but no one could kill him. And Krishna ultimately killed Kamsa. So by hearing these pastimes, we come to this platform of pure happiness. Everyone wants happiness, but what is pure happiness? Pure happiness is described in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter. It is said there, the real happiness is in samadhi. When we are in samadhi, then nothing can shake us. So if we are always engaged in service of Krishna, this is like a samadhi state. And nothing will shake us. Sukham atyantikam yattad buddhi grayam itendriyam. Veti yatrana chayvayam sitas chalatvi tatvata. That we won't be shaken, further he mentions. Gurunapi vichalyate. Even if greatest danger is there in our life, we won't be shaken. Usually if we have flu or something, we are fully shaken. I met a devotee yesterday. I said, Prabhu, I didn't see you for some time. He said, for 3 weeks I had big flu. And I saw he was fully shaken. He couldn't do his activities, his services. It was just a flu. So we are shaken by small things. All of us, even me. But if we are fully on that spiritual samadhi platform, then we won't be shaken. Like devotees like Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He wasn't shaken. He said, I'll just keep chanting Hare Krishna. And he didn't feel that pain. So that's the faith. That's a faith. So only when we are ready, Krishna will actually give us that realization. And then even those tests would come and we would easily pass them. So by this pastime of Kamsa, we have to understand that Krishna will always protect us. He dragged Kamsa. Burijan Prabhu recently was explaining that Kamsa was so much in fear of Krishna, he was thinking of Krishna day and night. And that is not Krishna consciousness, because it was not favorable, although he was always thinking of Krishna. He was thinking, at night he was getting nightmares. He would see his shadow with, without head and with holes, something like that. Very inauspicious omens were there. So Burijan Prabhu was explaining that from long time he had stopped blinking. So when Krishna threw him and from the throne in the arena, and he jumped on him, then Kamsa died, and his eyes were still open; they were not blinking. So people couldn't understand, because he was anyway not blinking. So they were not sure, is he dead or not? So that's why Krishna dragged him to prove that, see, he's dead. So these are amazing, wonderful pastimes of Krishna. They are sweet pastimes. It's hard to understand how this is sweet. It's just dragging a big demon, very ghastly. But more we hear, more we would understand these pastimes. So So I'll like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed today. Yes, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Yes, so in Bhagavad Gita it says explain, if you perform bhakti and you have made little advancement, then you go to heavenly planets, and there if you still are not able to perfect it fully, then you come back. Shuchi naam shrimatam gehe. You take birth in great aristocratic family or a wealthy family, and you continue from wherever you had left. But if you have advanced much further, like 90% or something, or even more, then you don't go to heavenly planets. You take birth in devotee family. Athva yogi naam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. And such a birth is very rare. Etaddi durlabataram loke janma yadi disham. So this type of birth is very rare, because hardly anyone in this world is able to go that ahead. You know, and hardly anyone is able to progress in bhakti to the great degree. Yeah.
Also, I mentioned that the presence of Kamsa is felt in Vrindavan.
Yes.
So, as far as my content, there's no fear, no anxiety there. So, this is
how. There's no material fear and no material anxiety. But there is fear related in connection to Krishna. And there is anxiety in relation to Krishna. So that's always there. As I was explaining, that it's totally different than fear here. Here we have fear because of identification with the body. In Bhagavatam it is explained, Vayam dvitiya vini veshatah syat. Because we identify with the secondary thing, which is body, that's why we get bhaya or fear. But that fear is different. That brings devotees close to Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes.
Prabhupada also said that if you're sentient, Krishna consciousness is still on our lives. So then if we are devotional service to some extent and we end up in heavenly planets, then how does that sound like a bit contradictory? And then also devotees don't desire to go to heavenly planets, because there is always a risk that
so two parts of your question, two questions. So first one was, we hear that you perform bhakti and you will go back to Godhead, but then we also hear that you go to heavenly planets. So that both are correct according to, based on how much elevation is we have attained. If we have attained only little elevation, then we go to heavenly planets and we come back and continue our bhakti, and even there we can continue. But we go back to Godhead if we are fully purified. If we have material desires, how can we go back to Godhead? We have to come back. So that's that. And then another point is that in heavenly planets, there are different type of living entities. So? Okay, they might forget. Okay. So usually we understand that all demigods are devotees. So whoever is in heavenly planets, they are all devotees, but they are not pure devotees. They are mixed devotees. They have devotion for Krishna and they also have their material desires for sense gratification. So yes, those devotees who perform some bhakti here and they end up in heavenly planets, they will not feel out of place, because next body is always provided according to the consciousness. So that's what Bhagavad Gita says. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. So whatever consciousness you have at the time of death, you attain that sort of body. So the devotees who have, most are pure devotees here. I mean, those don't have selfish desires. To some degree we have, little degree. So if we have that, okay, we are serving Krishna, we can analyze ourselves. We are trying to serve Krishna, but we want some pleasure for ourselves also, our senses also. Then we may end up in heavenly planets. And we won't feel out of place, because we anyway had those desires for sense gratification. So that's why this bhakti is a path. We need to purify our desires, so that, as we were yesterday also, I was mentioning that in each activity, we have to think that this is for Krishna's pleasure, not for me. Idam Krishna, idam Namama. So this is a very high state of consciousness. For sadhakas, that's what we are trying to achieve slowly. But if somehow or the other, if we are not perfected, we go to heavenly planets, but there is no loss. There is no loss. Krishna always protects. When Krishna says, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes, that means that our bhakti will be protected. So we won't get carried away. It will stay there. And we will, when we come back to earth, we will continue from there. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Can you summarize your question? Time is getting. What is the question?
Yes. So the question is, how do we put together this spiritual and material? Because in second chapter, Krishna tells us that you are not killing anyone. This is a spirit soul, and the spirit soul can be killed, right?
Mm.
So, and also he mentions other spiritual qualities, but in other parts of Gita, Krishna actually judges, you know, people according to their material qualities, like demons, you know.
Yes.
So how do we put together this? Because from the material perspective, we are really killing someone if we kill it, right? But from the spiritual
Yeah, so both of these statements are correct. All statements of Bhagavad Gita are perfect. So when it says soul never dies, so soul never dies. But the degree of material covering depends on the choice of that living entity. So if a living entity acts piously, it's promoted within the material realm, and if it performs bhakti, it's taken out of material world. But some living entities want to stay in the material world. So for them, that's also Krishna's mercy, actually. He says, Tan aham dushita kruran sansareshu naradaman. So I again and again put them in these hellish conditions because that's what they desire. So he never forces anyone. So because they desire that, so he keeps them here again and again. Soul is not dying in that case also. The soul is always there. They again and again get a body suitable for the hellish conditions. And that is also mercy of Krishna. Because as we were saying, whatever God does is good. So whatever, God is like loving father. If a parent punishes a naughty child, that's mercy. Because he wants to correct him. So when Krishna puts a demoniac person in hell, that's Krishna's mercy. Okay, I think we have to finish. I'll talk to you more after the class during prasadam. Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.